Kindly turn to the Roman Epistle, please. Romans chapter 1. We shall read from verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the faith in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in men, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the age are clearly seen, and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, in an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. The Lord will bless this section of his holy, precious word. This section that I just read, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle of Gentiles, and the writer and speaker, he's ain't no saints at Rome. The wonderful thing was that there were saints there. Now, whenever I refer to saints, what God's word means about saints, it's those who've been reached and saved by the sovereign grace of God. Souls awakened by the Holy Ghost to see their lost and dim condition, and God said, and to see their need of God's Son, and then let exercise faith in that blessed divine person for their soul's blessing and salvation. They're sitting into Rome, and they go in the gospel of the grace of God. We're not told to that servant or servant's voice, but somebody is there, and they know in the gospel that the blessed joy of seeing God's hand and the Holy Ghost moving, and souls awaited to see their condition, and God says, and let their repentance, and let their exercise faith in God's Son, and saved by the sovereign grace of God. Now, whenever Paul got saved, he heard about those saints at Rome. It is a great desire to go and see them and sit their faith in the Lord Jesus, God's Son. He didn't get there at that time. He saw them later, and he got away. He hadn't the faintest conception at all. But before ever he got there, he read the righteous epistle to Romans. And in verse 16 I read, he gives his testimony. He says concerning the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He tells us why. He says it is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, my friend, that's a marvellous statement. This man, once a proud, bigoted Pharisee, once flipping, here's the very name of God's Son. Some change has taken place, and he hasn't left us in the dark as to what that was. Three times inside this book, he loves to tell of his conversion, of his salvation, how in the sovereign mercy of God, the proud Pharisee was stripped of all he's locked up in, and let us see that God's salvation is locked up in his Son. And my friend, let the first, that person, for his soul's salvation, and was saved by the sovereign grace of God. And he says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's God's power, the mighty power of God, for his salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm thankful tonight to be on this platform, and every night to add my testimony, the testimony of the great Apostle Paul, and say to you, my friend, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Thank God, I approve beyond a shadow of it. It's God's power of his salvation in my own soul's eternal blessing and salvation. Now, if I have to go back a little over my past experience, it's not my fault to tell a life story, oh no, but my friend, if I have to go back, I trust you'll try and bear with me. I was brought up in the Church of Rome. My dear father and mother were both devout Roman Catholics. My mother belonged to the south of Ireland, the County Clare, and my father belonged to County Monaghan. Those two counties now are parts of what's known as the Irish Free State, but at that time, there was no border. And there was no feast here at that time. My dear mother, just 3 weeks after I was born, died very suddenly. Passed suddenly from time in eternity. And Aunt told me, she'd got me in her arms. And she said to my aunt, oh, she said, I feel very weak. She said, straight the child. Next thing she said, oh Lord Jesus. And my friend, just like that, passed off the scene and passed out to meet God. Now, for years after I was saved, I never in doubt, my friend, about knowing the gospel, away in the feast state. I searched for a burying place for years. I searched in the summertime. I searched in the graveyards in the summer. I searched for years, but I searched in vain. I searched in the cold winter in an icy blast. My friend, I searched in graveyards, but I searched in vain. One night I went to near Eton in a portable hall. A man was still at home with the Lord. He mentioned the name of a chapel. And I said, I beg your pardon, Ben. Please don't go away. I want to speak to you. I said, you name the name of that chapel. That might have brought back memories. I said, please tell me the name of that place again. And he told me, you know where that chapel is? I do. And he told me, well, I said to my friend where I was staying, just about 2 weeks before Christmas, years ago. I said, could you possibly spare the time and take me there? He said, I will. When in the time in County Cavan, and I asked one of the guards, could you tell me where this chapel is? No, he says, I don't know. I belong to County Cork, and I'm a stranger here. He says, there's a cobbler up there. He's lived his lifetime here. He said, be able to tell you. I went up to the cobbler's shop. I said, I beg your pardon, sir. Could you tell me where Martha Clune Chapel is? He said, I can, sir. I can tell you all that. And the dear man told me. I was out and told my friend. I said, we've got about 4 miles to go. And then we've got to make inquiries then. But at last we found the chapel. A big large chapel, my friend. And right away back to Dad. And I said to my friend, you search on that side, and I shall search on this side. And it wasn't long searching till I found out what I'd been looking for. My friend, the headstone of that grave was just as good as when just put up. There's only one body had ever been deposited there. The body of my beloved mother. A mother whose love I had never known. A mother died when I was just 3 weeks old. The body was placed there. She was only 24. The headstone was just as good as when it was put up. And I stood there. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I stood there shaking and head to foot in that large chapel, back of that grave, that big chapel. I stood there. And a wonderful thought entered my mind. I thought the one was gone. And I thought of the sovereign grace of God that ever crossed my pathway and ever opened my eyes and brought me to that fearful dark system and led me to know God's Son as my Savior. But after my dear mother died, my aunt and my grandfather and grandmother in County Clare, I don't know whether anybody ever here has been in County Clare. There's dark counties in Ireland, I'm sorry to tell you. And I have had experience of this across the border now for almost 45 years and more. And my life has been threatened different times across there. But thank God, in the sovereign mercy of God, I've been preserved. I've been over there lately. And a place just about a mile and a half where we were, having meetings. And Orange Hall was blown up in the sky just in a short time. We were only a mile and a half from that. But the Lord preserved us over there. Just a few weeks back, mind you. But now, then my grandfather and grandmother and aunt, they said to my father, oh, we'll take the child down to Clare. My county Clare is a dark county. You could travel for miles. When I was reared, you could go for miles and ask them, have you got a Bible? I'm sorry for the tell you in this platform. I was 18 years of age before ever I saw a Bible or ever read it or switch a book or ever had a Bible in my hand. I'm sorry for the tell you that on this platform. But brought up in Rome, where I was brought up, you could go for miles when I was reared. And asked them for the Bible, they didn't know what it was. A Bible is a book in Rome. No, you could get prayer books all right. Yes, and other things belong to Rome. But a Bible was a book unknown. There's no Bibles down there. I am thankful to God for those who go. And I solicit your prayers that say it for them. Who go. I lift my hands to the ones who go now. And try and get down there in the summertime and other things too. And try and get into these dark homes. And pray and get in Bibles with the proportions of the Word of God. You pray for them. And mind you, they need your prayers. It's no picnic, I can tell you, after this platform. Well, I was brought down there, and they said, we'll treat the child until you get over a sudden death. Every year after I was there, my father got married again. And that caused strange relations with them up in the south. And he said, I'll take the servant down, and I'll take my son. They said, no, you won't. Because they said, we're going to keep him and rear him down here. Well, I was reared there. And I spent the first 14 years of my life in County Clare. The one brought up in the Church of Rome. There's two outstanding events. There's a whole lot, but there's two in particular. The first thing is, whenever about the age of 8 or 9, and every younger, you enter a confessional for the first time. And you confess as best you know what sins you can think of as a Roman Catholic priest. And you have to believe, according to the Church of Rome, you've got absolution the forgiveness of your sins. I'm not going to tell you off this platform all that takes place in the confessional. But I know this. That's that Rome believes that. And that's taught that you're telling. For the man says, I don't know perfect things that ones. You may tell you for the first 7 years of their life. And you can go anywhere after that. He says, what means still is their mind and heart. It will never leave them. Yes, but he didn't think about the sovereign grace of God that stood down and reached even dark moment hours. Well, I was kept there. And I was there for 40 years. Now the first thing, when you go to confessional and confess the priest what sin you know. The next thing is confirmation. Now down here, a Roman Catholic priest would come to school. I said to Boyer, come out please. And he called out. And he asked you to go over everything in the Roman Catholic Catechism. And he overpaid that boy. And he couldn't answer every question in the Catechism. And he said, overpaid that boy. Whenever a Roman Catholic priest would come and call him out and ask him to go over every mess in the Roman Catholic Catechism. He would give you a girl to call a girl out. Overpaid that girl. And she can't answer every question in the Roman Catholic Catechism. Now, whenever I was 14, my father, he had moved from Monaghan down to Belfast, and I can see the hand of God and the guiding hand and all this, and then it got. My father moved into Belfast, and my father wrote down south, and he says, is my son living or dead? I should like to know. After all, he's my son, and I would pay a claim on him, and I'd like to know, is he living or dead? And he wrote and told my father I was alive. Well, he says, I want my son sent to Belfast. He's my son, and I've got quite a claim. And he says, I want my son sent to Belfast. And being a school teacher, he says, I want him up here to get better education. And before I was 14, I landed in a large city of Belfast. Now, the first question my father asked me, he asked me about the education. And he told me it had been neglected by himself. But he says, under my teaching, being a school teacher, he says, I'll keep that. Then the next question, will you confirm whenever you're down there? I said, no, Father. I've been prepared for confirmation, but I wasn't confirmed. Well, he said, that's the next thing. Now I was confirmed in St. Valentine's Roman Catholic Chapel in the city of Belfast. I was asked by two priests. I was asked for catechism. And I'm not saying this brutally. I could answer every verse of the catechism off by heart. And they said to me, hey, what's the name of your priest down there that taught you this? I told them. And the one there, he said, this boy is passed for confirmation. And I was confirmed and said, well, at this chapel in the city of Belfast. At that time, a most sincere, a most bigoted, a most devout Roman Catholic. At one time in my life, I went a very straight. I laid my body with the bold ashes at the stake for the faith I was brought up in. I believed the Holy Catholic Church was the only faith that God ever gave. I say that there's no salvation, anybody. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul. Now, against my dear father's wishes, I started in a line of business in Belfast we didn't like. And I spent 3 years at that. But I didn't tell Father what I was going to do. But I said, I'm tireless. And I want to see life. And I'm going to see life. The best way I could see life is to join the British Army. I'm going to go off at the India Civil East Visit. But I want to go. And I want to see life. And I went over to the office. And to my blank amazement, I was turned down. Well, then, against my father's wishes, I started working in the shipyard. I was there for a while before he knew. And more than that, one night in Belfast, a man that I'd met in St. Balaki's Chapel, who overtook him what I was. But we were dear friends. I met him in Belfast tonight. He says, where are you going tonight? I told him. He says, you come with me tonight. You come with me. Now, if I had known where I was going, I'd never been there. He said, if you take it to some house of ill fame, no, thank God, no. He brought me to a festival part of Belfast. And he rang a bell. And let me the smell and had him open the door. And he said, this is a young friend I have brought. He says, couldn't he stay overnight? Of course I thought, this man is a most devout Roman Catholic. He was a holy fraternity and symbolically supper. And I never for one moment ever thought of him staying in what I called a Protestant home. But he brought me. And he says, this friend of mine could stay overnight. Yes. And I was within the sitting room. And I was expecting to see pictures of the Virgin Mary or something. But imagine my amazement whenever there was such a scripture up in the sitting room. I thought I could hardly believe what I said. Well, I said nothing. We see the dining room and there's such a scripture up there. This is a very strange business. And then we were tired for that
and upstairs in the bedroom was such. I said, dear, my God, what sort of a place is this? These people are not Catholics. And he, a most devout Catholic and in the holy fraternity, and symbolically settled to stay in a place like this with these people, persons. And the name that he, at the Lord's, if I could get out there, I'd be away. But if God spells it at the bottom morning, I'd be away. I could still come and tell the priest all about this. I can't understand this. A Protestant home, and as well as Protestants. They must become religious Protestants. They're the first time I've ever met. I'd heard them push against wedding in the shipyard. But I had never met these people before. Well, he said, now listen, I invited you here. And he said, although these people are Protestants, he said, this woman would make a splendid family. She's a very kind woman and very good. I want to tell you something. I have a very, very warm place in my heart for that dear soul. She's in heaven. She's in heaven. But that night, whenever I come, she got down her bedside and she told the Lord about a young man, Matthew 18, 17, a dark woman Catholic, as dark as midnight. And she mentioned my name and asked the Lord to open my eyes and pray to God for my salvation. Now, I intended only to stay one night there. You'll be surprised when I tell you I spent 3 years in that home. I was there before I was saved, and I was there after I was saved. And I enjoyed blessed fellowship in that home after I was saved by the sovereign grace of God. Well, I started over the shipyard. And David, I believe by the living God that sits in heaven, I sent him board this as Titanic. That's long since gone down the bottom of the ocean. Now, I wasn't on the Titanic whenever to sink. Don't misunderstand me. But I was there for 8 months in the shipyard whenever that boat was being built. And I thank God in time, and I shall thank him for all eternity, that ever my footsteps was guided on board that boat. I was working with a man, a Protestant, a most godless man, but he could ill. And then I was sent to work on my own. And I was sent to work in a farming. And whenever I went in there, a little man that's down in heaven, a painter, he was working above my head in the ceiling. And the job I got, I didn't like it. And I'm sorry to tell you at that time I could use fearful language, sad to say. And I came down to get the cathedral open, and I began to cuss and swear about the man that gave me the job, and about the job. This little man stepped down at the staging. He said, "See, young man, are you going to work here?" "Yes." "Well, to see, if you're going to work here, you need to be very, very careful of the language that you use." "What did you say?" "I said you need to be very careful the language that you use." I said, "What have I got to do with you? What language I use?" "I'll use whatever language I like to use." "No, you won't." He says, "Not in my presence." He says, "Just now, I heard you taking the name of God's blessed Son in blasphemy." He says, "I won't stand for that." He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is very precious to me, and he's my Savior." And he says, "You mustn't use language like that in my presence." I looked at him, a painter with a painter, speak of him, a strong man. I said, "I wonder," said I, "Spelling, he's a Protestant. What's it got to do with him, what I'll do, what I'll not do?" But I left the place in a temper, and I stayed out the whole afternoon in purpose, just to keep that of his old. And I said, "Well, at that time we had to start at 6 in the morning." And I said, "Well, I'll be in the morning, and I'll get the job done." And he might sleep in, and I'll not see him, and I'll get the job finished. But thank God he was there. But I remember that the Lord said, "Well, they'll get out." And he came over, and he said, "I just want to speak to you for a minute. Listen, my friend. You take me for a Protestant. You made the biggest mistake that you ever made in your living life." I says, "Thank God I'm no Protestant. Thank God I'm a great Roman Catholic." And I said, "You spoke to me yesterday evening." But I said, "Listen, you speak of the most devout Roman Catholic." Well, he says, "Young man, I didn't know you're a Roman Catholic." But he says, "That doesn't matter. In God's sight, between you and the unsaved Protestants on this boat, there's not one with a difference." And then he began to quote scripture. Scripture that I had never had in my life. And then he said something more. He says, "Where do you go in the mirror?" And I told him where I went to take my food. Well, he says, "You'll stay here with me." I said, "That will not." He says, "You will. You'll promise me now you're going to stay with me here in the mirror. Whenever they let the great ship off, I've got a carol." And he says, "We'll leave our food taken. We'll get food for our soul. We'll read the word of God." I says, "I definitely will not." He says, "Listen, young man, I want you to promise that you'll stay for one day with me I'll never ask you to come back in. How hard will it be to read the Word of God? He says, have you got a Bible? No, I said, I have got no Bible. Have you ever had a Bible? No, I said, I never had. Have you ever seen one? No, I said, I have never seen a Bible. I don't know what it's like. Went over, and his coat fell over the peg, and he brought out the Bible. He says, that's a Bible. I said, well, that's God's holy word. Is that true? Yes. And he says, whenever I've got food for my body, I get food for my soul. I read the precious word of God. He says, to me, I says, thank God, I can, surely. But he says, now I want you to read a chapter for me. And he got the Bible. And the Bible was placed in my hand for the first time. And I found him in that boat. And he opened it to John chapter 3. And he says, now you read that down slowly. Right out of time. I said, I want to ask you a question, sir. What does God still mean? Except the man be born again, if he cannot see him of God. What does that mean? And he began to open up the Word of God. And the time seemed to fly. And I was amazed. But I'd never had heard that in my life. And I said to him, would you have that holy book with you tomorrow? Oh, yes. He said, I'd never come in here without bringing that Bible with me. Would it be all right if I could come back tomorrow? Would you read more? I surely will. He said, you come back and I'll be looking out for you. Well, I said, listen, I want you to make me a promise. I said, it might be as much as my life's worth. If somebody went down to the next boat me, right from here. I said, won't you promise me before God? You'll not tell a living soul. He said, I will. I will. I will. Well, I went there every day for weeks, for nearly over 2 weeks. And he read the word of God. And he tried to be before me my state before God. And I need to be saved. And I'm saved me from God's bit, unless I was saved by the grace of God and born again, have I ever seen. So I got awakened. And I got concerned about my soul. But like what we're seeing in him, not a ray of light could I see. My bed is as dark as midnight. And then, the death will come till all my hopes. The foreman come to me at 11 o'clock. See, gather up your Filipinos. And he says, pack them up. He says, you're going away to the shop a mile away. I promised to meet my friend at dinner time. And I went down to see him. I says, I won't see you at dinner time. I've got orders to leave the boat now. I'm away a mile away in the shop. And he says, I don't believe I'll ever get saved. I says, I don't think God would save me. I left the boat with a heavy heart. And I was only about an hour in the shop. And whenever I went, the man that was there, a Roman Catholic, and a bitter one, he said to me, what's your name? I told him. He says, that's a strange name, isn't it? I said, I suppose it is. Are you a Roman Catholic? I said, yes, I am. He says, so am I. He says, you'll be all right here when under my care. I'm a foreman here. I look after you. I says, thank you. But by how many are better there? Whenever a young man, he was a reading heart, he'd come over. And the foreman come out, here the young man wants to speak to you. Out to the road. There's a young man standing there. He whispered to me. He says, do you know where the paint shop is? I says, I do. Well, he says, you come over in the mirror. And he says, I'll be looking out for you. He says, we'll meet there to read God's word and to pray about 10 of us. And he says, we'll make you welcome. I said, how did you know about me? He says, well, your friend on the boat told me that you'd left the boat. But he says, you come over, and we'll make you welcome. I went over. At this end here, there's about 10 or more ungodly men playing cards. Protestants, ungodly men. But away down, away back, about 10 of the Lord's children, they have to pray and read the word of God. I went there. And that, over there, just about 3 weeks before the Titanic left Belfast on its maiden voyage. And the man I'm referring to is Mr. John Ravy. And I have a very, very warm place in my heart for dear Brother Ravy. He is a Baptist pastor. He's a retired Baptist pastor. I met him some time back. And mind you, we had a warm shake hands. But I have a very, very warm place in my heart for that dear child of God. Because over there at his Bible reading, with his Bible in my hand, reading John 3, and verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the light of God's salvation entered my dark soul. And I saw that God had loved me, and gave me so the day for me at Calvary. I took God his word, and trust his Son, and rested simply on the atoning sacrifice of God's Son for my soul's salvation. And I told him, oh, is this thy God? I see it. I see it now. I says, thank God I'm saved.
And this today they turned to me. He says, man, you listen. It's not a verse of scripture. It's a person. It's God's blessed son. I said, yes, I know. But that's the one I'm interested in. And then they got down to pray. And I didn't know to ask it. Mind for weeks they'd been praying that God had opened that eyes, the man stand before you, and that God had saved my precious soul. And whenever I got up off the knees, Mr. Ray turned to me. He said, have you got a Bible? I said, I know I have not. Well, he says, I'll give you mine. And I said, will you please mark those verses and mark some more? For I need them. And I did need them. I need them. For I said, I mightn't be able to find them verses. But you mark them for me. And I marked some more. And the first Bible I ever possessed is my own. It is given to me by Mr. John Reilly. And I had a very, very warm place in my heart for that dear child of God. Well, whenever I went home, I knew the lady in the home was a Protestant. I didn't know she was saved. Whenever I got a chance, for the man that brought me there, and still go to St. Malachy's Chapel, he was there. And my worry was, how am I going to confess Christ to James and tell him what's taking place? And now you listen, it is 4 days before I got strength and courage and grace from God to confess Christ to my friend. But that dear soul, I told her, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I got saved. I said, today, in the pain shop on the Queen's Island, I trusted God's Son as my Savior. I see her yet. And the big tears went down her cheeks. She says, thank God. Thank God. She says, for the very first night he entered my home, I pray to God, I pray ever since, for your salvation. And she says, I'm praying for James. Well, I want to tell you about James. The last words ever fell in my ears from him. Whenever I told him, he went clean wild. And he came in, he used to take fits of drinking sometimes. And he came in this Saturday night. And I was sitting reading God's precious word. He said, I'll not be a cursed heretic on the rest of you. But I won't have it. And he said, I'll tear you limb from limb. And I'll burn that book. Come over like that. And I don't know what would have happened. But her husband came in. He says, what's wrong? It's that cursed heretic there. He says, I'll tell you to go. And I'll burn that book of the fire. I said, you won't. Was God's precious word, the beautiful no book of the fire. You said to that. And he's going to strike me. And the husband came in between. He said, listen, the Polish branch is not very far away. And he says, you start any trouble. He said, you can get a night's lodging there. He says, you not interfere with him. I tell you, this is my house, not yours. He might have spoken a word for 3 nights and 3 days a night. And I said, that man, I said, I'm not sleeping in a room. No one says, I won't ask you. He says, you'll sleep at night tonight. But he said, there'll be no trouble mind you in this room. I'll see that. Well, whenever James left, he left the wisdom. He says, we have got you marked, and we'll get you. We'll tell you in from him. Lord of our cursed heritage, to walk the streets of Belfast. We'll tell you in from him. I said, yes, if God allows you, you'll do it. But you'll only go so far as the Lord allows. Well, I was thankful to God. 6 months there before my father knew. And my father came over. And I came home from the shipyard in my working clothes. And Mrs. McCormick said to me, there's a gentleman, a big stout man, very well dressed for the sitting room, and he wants to see you. Who is he? He didn't give any name, but he wants to see you. But I said, I couldn't just see anybody now, just in my working clothes. Well, he particularly wants to see you. And I went in, and I almost fainted whenever I saw my father. I knew it was going to be a fearful scene. And he says, have you got your supper? Not yet. Well, whatever you've got belongs to get you ready and get on your clothes and pack your bag. You're coming out of this house. You're coming home. You're not going to stay here. You're coming home. I said, Father, I'm not going home. I'm not leaving this place. I'm not going home. Yes, you are. I went out. I said this to your soul. I said, if ever you pray this house, pray for me. I need your prayers. I went out. Oh, he's gone. The last word ever fell in my ears. And my father, he says, I will live to see the day. Whenever he says a servant to tell you, Mr. Finnegan, there's a beggar at the door. And he's looking for a few pence or a crust of bread. He says, my God above in heaven. He says, I'll go to the door. It'll be usually my sin. Not a ragged clothes in your back, not a shoe on you. And he says, Father, I'm starving with hunger. Will you let me in and give me some food? And I want back to chapel. I want back to Rome. I want back to where I never should left. I looked at him. I want to tell you, Father, something you don't know. I says, you are my earthly father. But he says, God's my heavenly father.
I shall hold God lives and fix in heaven's throne. I shall thank God that day will never dawn in my experience. Thank God it never has. And thank God it never will. It never will. It never will. Oh no, thank God. Well, you said to me, I'm going to have a priest, two priests, and a sergeant over the barnet and a car. And you're not going to do what you did. You'll come home. And he said, if God spares you to supper night, you'll go to St. Matthew's Chapel. And he said, you'll go to confession. And afore the whole chapel on Sunday morning, you'll go to the altar against the Holy Communion. I said, Father, there's an old saying, you might find a horse for water, but you couldn't make a drink. And I said, if you had all the soldiers in Belfast, and all the poets in Belfast, I said, you'll never ever get me inside of the confessional. I said, thank God, I'm finished with that. I said, I've got something else. I've got God's Son and God's salvation. And I said, that makes all the difference in the world. And I said, that's what I'll never be. Well, I spent a fearful day the next day on praying to God and wondering what was going to happen. Now, in Jerusalem, I put in a fearful day. But the priest, the chief priest didn't come. The sergeant didn't come. No. My father's gone. My father was almost buried in Belfast. And I wasn't wanted to be there. But only for a friend, a child of God that's down in heaven. He come, I was looking for a shipyard. He says, did you get a telegraph? I said, no, we didn't get a telegraph. Well, he says, is that all the rest of yours? Because my father was a buried that day. And I said, if I didn't go, well, I'd get blamed for not going to the funeral in respect to the dead, and I went. And over that night, over, and one moment, his wife, my stepmother, said, my father in purgatory. Next moment he was in heaven, the woman didn't know what you said. And she said to me, whenever he was dying, now listen, I'm not speaking about Africa or India or China. This is Belfast, baby. And this goes on in Belfast. This goes on in Belfast. She says, whenever your father was departing in eternity, she says, let the Holy Cattle, and I place the Holy Cattle in his hands to show his soul like to the purgatory, whenever he's passing off the scene. And I left that night, and I said, my God, as my father died, locked up a dome, and died into hell and lost his soul. And about 4 years afterwards, a son of mine was given out tracts in the town where I live. And then he asked him, what's your name? He told her, is your father a saved Roman Catholic? He is. Does he know how his father died? Well, he says, I don't know, but my father wouldn't like to talk about that. But he doesn't know. He says, tell him I'd like to see him. I'm Mrs. Steele, and I live next door. He says, does he know that his father refused the last rites of the church and refused to see two priests? Does he know that his sister came in? When in the one put up there and said, my God, my father's still a heretic and go to hell. And the judgment of God will fall upon my brother. He's to blame for all this. Oh, whenever I got that news, and upstairs, I got down, I thank God that perhaps after all, the sovereign mercy of God, he might have got his eyes opened and then let the first Godson, then he got God's salvation. Well, he said, listen, 50 years has passed and gone, and the sovereign grace of God that crossed my pathway. It's the grace of God that has me tonight. I'm a stepson. 46 years ago, I left home. I left my wife, who's now in heaven. I left the small family. I'm out to make known God's blessed gospel. And without my mind, I'm not going to spend my time in the north of Ireland. No, no. There's fear for me to cross the border. And I say this, and not safe boasting me. The biggest part of that time, not all, but the biggest part has been spent across the border. I was down there just a few weeks ago, down on the border of County Longford. I was there before Christmas, for weeks. And we visited for miles round, as well as having meetings. Visited homes, Protestant homes, Roman Catholic homes. Well, I want you to pray for them. Living in darkness and the shadow of death. And Protestants too, sorry for to tell you, see them as dark as midnight, about their need of salvation. Tell us if we believe and say our prayers and live a good life and do the best we can. And trust in the mercy of God will turn up in heaven. Oh, my friend, how solemn. And yet, a lot of these Roman Catholics, whenever we went, they've accepted gospel as down in Leacombe. An old woman came out. She said, do you belong to Mr. Paisley's party? I said, no, I don't. She says, you belong to Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, no, thank God, I do not. And I spoke to her. And she says, you know, she told me certain things. Well, I said, I know one person loves you. Who's that? I said, God loves you. And I said, he loved you that much and he loved me that much. He gave his blessed son to come down from heaven and die at Calvary that you and I might get saved. And she says, sir, come in. Come in. Whenever I offered her some gospel books, she wouldn't take them at the first. She says, come in. Whatever I would in. I said, that is this the first time I've been in your home. I said, would you be offended if I got out my Bible and read about the sufferings and death of God's son and the word of God? She said, I will not. And that dear soul sat there, and I could see the tears in her eyes as I read and spoke about the sufferings of God's son. And I said to her, would you be offended if I get down and have a word of prayer in your home? She says, no. I got down to pray. Whenever I got up, I said, now I offered you them books, and I told you about the Lord Jesus and his sufferings and death at Calvary. She says, sir, I didn't know. I didn't know. She says, about the blessed Son of God. She says, I'll take them. I'll take them. Oh, you pray for these people. Another dear soul said to me, she says, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm not the same as you. And my heart was moved. Well, I said, John 3:16 just read the very same in your Bible as mine. And I quoted that and quoted by the verses. And I started to speak to her about the sufferings and death of God's sin. And she says, oh, sir, whenever you take this holy name on your lips, why don't you bow your head every time you take that holy name on your lips? I knew full well what you meant. I said, yes, I know. But I said, there's many one that bows their head. But I says, thank God I have done more. And I said, I have bowed these claims, and I have received God's son into my heart as my own Savior. And I said, I know him as my Savior. And I got speaking to him. But whenever I was speaking, and speaking about the sufferings and death of God's son, I saw the tears running down her cheeks. You that saved, pray for these people. Pray for them. And pray for the gospel across the border, that God will bless this, the wood, and that God's sovereign, and God's moving there. On my permission, and some here tonight, you've got a privilege that I never had. You know, God's word says, the greater the privilege, the more awful shall be the responsibility. I have often said, I'd rather live and die in County Clare in the awful darkest room and never have heard of God's son of salvation than live and die in this favoured north of Ireland where there's Bibles galore and the gospel preached. Oh, my friend, what would it mean for a person to pass off the scene and to die without God's son, without salvation? Now may the Lord bless tonight this simple testimony, and God bless his precious word for his name's sake. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our blessed loving Father, in the peerless blessed name of thy Son, we reverently bow before thee. We ask, Lord God, that thou bless every soul there in thy presence. We thank thee for those who are thine, for every soul in this place, that knows thy blessed Son as their Savior, and is saved by thy sovereign grace. But our Father, we pray for them here, but for thy blessed God, that still without thy Son, without salvation. O God, our Father, we pray that thou bless tonight the simple testimony on thy precious blessed word. Our Father, those who are thine, we can never thank enough. We thank our God in time. We shall thank thee, Father, for all eternity, for the sovereign grace of God, that ever crossed our pathway, and ever brought us, our God, out of the darkness, that thy marvelous light and salvation. My Father, we commit the solemn issues to thee, and ask thee, blessed Father, for thy blessing upon thy word, and upon the simple testimony, in his own precious, blessed name.